You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You're listening to The Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I am your host, Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got my good friends, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi.
Hello.
And, Renicide.
Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
Fine. Doing well. Pretty tired. Had an eventful day yesterday, but other than that, things are okay. Having a nice, had sushi for brunch because all the brunch places were filled.
I'm not a brunch person because that's if you try to go, you know, to a brunch place during brunch hours, like you're just stuck like in a giant line of assholes for hours. And like some people make a day of it. That's their thing. They enjoy doing it. I do not. I want to get in, get the eggs, and get the fuck out.
Yeah. If I want breakfast on a Sunday, it's going to be breakfast. I am up out of my bed at like 8 a.m. and I haul ass to the closest place that would be open. Otherwise, you're not going to get a seat. Like if you show up at a minute after like 10 o'clock, you're out of luck. You're going to be in line for like two complete brunches of somebody else.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people, they like to just drink all day, like, you know, hang out, yell at each other in a closed space. And then I don't know. What do these people do at like 3 p.m. after they finally ate a plate of eggs after drinking like 19 mimosas?
They throw up the eggs.
Yeah. They just like sit out. They just go find a comfy couch to just lie down and rub their engorged bellies, and they just moan in pleasure at the sweet, succulent, just like slothliness of it all. Just the gluttony of American sinfulness.
I mean, I guess, like, I know my brain doesn't work right, that's the thing, but like, it's not appealing to me. None of that is appealing to me, and it should be, because those are all the things that, like, you know, we're psychologically, you know, the animal brain wants. It wants to get drunk and eat a lot of food and then do nothing.
Yeah, well, I think it's a lot of those people are hungover from the night before going out. So their brain is saying, get food, but also keep drinking.
Yeah. It's like you get a little bit of you get those carbs and that bread to kind of soak up the alcohol. But at the same time, you do a bit of the hair of the dog and you chug a little bit of mimosa and you're feeling some kind of way. I don't know if it's better, but at least, you know, you feel the temporary psychological need up front. You know, health be damned.
And you also get a $20 Belgian waffle with some locally sourced apples on it, so everyone wins.
Yummy.
Yeah. So instead of doing that, you ate sushi, right?
Every place was packed, so I just drove to a sushi place that was in the area and had some sushi. It was really good. It's always very good. And also, there were tables to spare. That's how it should be.
So you guys, you got up to an adventure yesterday.
Yeah, we sure did.
Of which I was not included. It seems pretty fucked up to me. But
yeah, well, we don't like you as much as each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And neither do our listeners either.
I believe that. What exactly was the deal? What happened?
All right, so in October, and I'm just kidding. They love you the most, Joe. You're the man.
Again, I don't think that's true, but okay.
So
I've seen the likes you get on Twitter. They like you.
Yeah. A Twitter which I am so cruelly imprisoned.
Yeah. We got to talk about that before we talk about.
We'll get to that. Oh, should we talk about the Twitter thing first?
I mean, I don't know. It's not that important. I've been having brain issues, and one of my solutions was like, I'm gonna stop using Twitter because it's not making anything any better. And I went back on my word because one of you guys sent me a tweet of this guy that was just this total fucking putz going on this most smug tirade ever about Toilet of Hell being a bunch of moralizers and not understanding the true nature of rock and roll and heavy metal by publishing your piece on Nurgle. And so, I mean, I just, all I did was, like, I retweeted this guy and call him a bitch. And that was it.
No. You called him a downy soft bitch.
I don't know what you call a 45-year-old man that still pretends he's a goth. Other than a downy soft bitch.
Not to mention, he's like a gray-toothed Englishman, like the worst gammon upon gammon. He's just like the most like Brexit piece of shit. I've hate followed this guy for a little while, but and the thing is, he just loves to tote when people block him and stuff. But I guess I don't know. He blocked everybody involved on us kind of dunking on him. I did screen cap your tweet, like because when a tweet gets deleted, there's always this sort of weird limbo that it goes to, where if you have like a tab open or if you click on it just in the right time, you'll get this little message that says tweet is unavailable, but there it fucking is in front of your eyeballs. So of course screen capped it, so your glory has been embossed on my timeline for all to see.
I don't know if anybody out there has ever been suspended from Twitter, but what they do is they send you an email with all of the tweets that they declared were no-nos and
boo-boos.
They make you delete the tweets, and then from there, like, the counter begins on your sentence. I got a week for calling this guy a downy soft bitch, which seems excessive. If you like that, I didn't think that was like, sure, it's not like the most woke thing that I could do, but sometimes, you know, poetry fails me.
Well, this guy referred to the toilet of hell as, quote, absolute AIDS. And that's just the worst absolute vodka flavor, really.
Yeah. Not my favorite.
So, Twitter shamed me. They made me delete my naughty tweet. And thankfully, yeah, you preserved it. Fuck the man. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, if you want to base your persona off being, like, a rough and tough, snarky bastard, maybe don't, like, shit your britches when somebody calls you out.
Yeah, and, like, call people, like, Dim Doppy Wally Pogs or whatever the fuck kind of cockney trash this moron speaks every day. It's like, I've met plenty of young Englishmen with very funny insults, and this guy doesn't have any of them.
I've been suspended from Twitter, but I cannot be suspended from this podcast. So, Mark, if you're listening, I'm going to go to England and I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Just toss you in a locker, stuff your head in a toilet, and make you call me daddy.
I'm going to take your I'm going to take your fucking sandals, the ones that kind of buckle around your feet. I'm going to pull them off of you. I'm going to pull off your socks that you wear underneath them that are just a little off white. I'm going to gag you with the socks, and I'm just going to beat you over the fucking head with bull sandals. I'm going to dual wield, motherfucker. And you're just going to have all the buttons pop off of your shirt, and your safari shorts will ride up just a little too much up in your knickers.
I'm going to make you renounce the monarchy you love so much.
So I'm gonna do you feel better that you've been off Twitter for a week?
No, because I'm so horrifically depressed. it's probably a good move, though, to like not look at all the stuff.
You're not missing anything, I promise.
Not at all. It's I don't know. I wouldn't come back if I were you. But if you want to, then that's okay too.
But we're not here to talk about the damn mods over on Twitter. We're here to talk about an adventure that you boys went on. So okay. can you set the stage for us?
So there's the one ring to rule them all. Oh, sorry, different adventure.
So every year in Worcester, Massachusetts, they have a convention / concert, and it's called Rock and Shock. And I've talked about this before. You have your rock, which is at the Palladium, and it's two stages of a bunch of either metal bands or metal adjacent bands, depending on what they want to do any given year. And then down the street from that venue is a big civic center called the DCU Center. And in that convention center, they have a horror convention where you have all these different vendors selling all sorts of kitschy crap, old DVDs, masks, shirts, whatever, what have you, your typical stuff. And then they always have just like a slew of random sort of has-been celebrities that you can get your picture with, pay too much money to stand in line and, you know, take a selfie with or get a signature of. And every year it's been getting progressively worse, by the way. Like, this time we had Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange, which we had last year, I think, and we didn't have any time to miss him. So his line was non-existent. And my wife tells me he was charging like $50 for a fucking selfie or something. Whoa. Yeah, so he should be stuffed in the trash. He's done, whatever. And then there was Linda Blair, as you know, from The Exorcist. And her line was huge. Everybody was there to see her instead. Then you had a bunch of other nobodies, maybe a podcast that no one listens to.
Was the,
not like this
one. Was the girl from Sleepaway Camp there? I feel like she does every one of these.
No,
she might have been. We wouldn't have noticed.
We need to get her there. You know, we need to get that one specifically. But anyway, the convention I thought was a bust. My wife really likes it because she's way into independent horror writers, which a bunch of them go there and sort of sling their books and stuff and sign books for her. And she's way into that. So she had a really great time and I'm happy for her. But we went for the show. So a couple weeks ago, I guess we reached out to Nuclear Blast to get a couple interviews lined up. And usually if somebody gives me an opportunity and I would just bail out if it made me a little bit nervous. But this time I've been trying to become more an adult. And when I have golden opportunities, I just take them regardless of whether I'm good at it or how I feel about it. Because that's what you should do. Someone gives you an opportunity to do something, you should just jump in with both feet. So I did. I got signed up to... or set up, rather, to interview some guys from Wintersun, whoever they might be. Wintersun being my favorite metal band probably ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of mystery that goes along with this.
Yeah.
So like Brendan was saying, I reached out to Nuclear Blast and said we wanted to interview Wintersun and Amorphis, who were both playing the show. Mm-hmm. And they say, okay, here's the contact info for their tour managers. Get in touch with them a day before and then take it from there. Like, you're on your own. Like,
yeah,
we contacted them. That's it.
I had a similar experience interviewing Skeleton Witch a couple of years ago, and it was such a bad experience. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, ultimately, for me, it turned out okay because I got to talk to some guys at Wintersun. Maybe that's a spoiler alert. But we didn't end up talking to Amorphis.
So what happened there?
I just was texting back and forth with the manager, and it just didn't happen. You know, it wasn't any sort of specific reasons. Just they had a signing to do. Like, the bands were doing signings at the convention, even though I didn't see any bands there. And then they like went out to lunch, and then had sound check, and that was it. And just like, all right, it happens. At least we got one band. It's fine.
Yeah, and I was freaking out. I thought, you know, it was just that since Amorphis was having an issue with timing, I thought the whole thing would go bust. And I was making all sorts of jokes about which guy I would talk to. I was pretty sure I wasn't going to talk to the big head Toncho Yachty. He's a bit more private than some of the other guys. I thought for sure I was going to talk to like Temu, but we ended up talking to Yuka, the bassist, and Asim, who is this brand new guitarist they brought on last year to pick up guitar for Yachty. And I know a lot of people were kind of blown away by that because Yachty is kind of like a wizard on the guitar and he's always been famous for that. But he wanted to just be like a vocalist. He wanted to run around on stage and do his thing. So they brought in a new guitarist to do that instead for him.
Huh. Okay. So yeah. his ego is fully taken over then.
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean, I'm sure Yachty's still going to write stuff, and he's still going to be a guitar player. But I think live, he's just going to be like a stage man. So the time was coming. I spoke with Mito, their manager, who was actually, you know, he was professional. He got right back to me every time I messaged him. So we met outside. Went into their tour bus, which was I've never been in a tour bus in my life, and we'll play the interview for you in a bit, but I hope you guys are just so pumped to hear me stammer, hear me go in the history of the art form. I was listening back and I cringed so hard because I was clearly very nervous. It's my first interview ever, so don't be too mean to me, but it's okay. I think I did all right, but I really got to work on my inflection and just keeping it together.
I mean,
this stuff.
Buddy, the interview's coming up on this episode. Don't, like, you know, turn people off. Tell
turn,
them, like,
turn it off. Turn
no,
this shit off.
Absolutely
right now.
Not. Say, you gotta have a little bit of confidence. Say, like, you know, this was a new and interesting experience for me, rather than, like, I've never done this before and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. We're gonna put out a remix album of all your ums and uhs, and it's gonna be one of those 10-hour long YouTube videos. No, you did a great job. We got through it. They answered our questions. It was a good time. They didn't kick us out of the bus or anything. They didn't say, oh, you idiot, who asked that? It was fine. You did well.
Well, it was interesting. When we first got on the tour bus.
When you got on the bus, did anybody ply you with alcohol and try to fuck you?
Yes, but that's beside the point.
Okay, I guess I was going to say maybe that's not something that happens all the time, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I have no evidence to prove that, so... it didn't happen, but I it was interesting when they first got on the bus, Asim and Yuka, they just kicked their shoes off and there was a pile of shoes right by the like driver's seat. So as you guys remember, I like famously just like rebuke the act of kicking shoes off.
Who do these Finns think that they are?
Yeah, man, it's not cool. And so but of course I just kick them right off, cause I want to be the sweetest darling of a person I could possibly be. So one thing that I can tell you about this interview that I wasn't so stoked on was the fact that these were the single two most soft-spoken individuals in the history of the universe. The tour bus was like sitting there running, and me and Jordan had to like launch our recorders into their faces to get like any semblance of audio.
Arm hurts so much by the end of it.
Yeah. They just, you know, and I was too nervous, I think, to ask them to speak up. So I just kind of cranked the gain and just leaned forward and tried to get what I could. I listened back. I thought my recording came out okay. But, I got some good answers from them. I had a good time. They were very nice couple dudes. And, I was the freaking king of the world by the end of it. I, like, did the damn thing. And I was saying hi to the other bands. I was, you know, talking people up and having a great time after.
Well, yeah, to tell about the security guard after finished with the interview and went into the actual venue.
I'd love to. We had some back and forth. There was this, most of the day was in the up in the air whether Jordan would get into this place, because we went to the box office and there was no guest list yet. So I guess the Amorphous guy came through and getting us on the guest list, but we still didn't get an interview with them. Yeah. So we got these like Amorphous passes and these wristbands that said photo, even though we weren't like photographers, but whatever. So we get in. Jordan goes right up to one of the guys during the show. I think it was during was it Moonspell or Nebliviscaris?
Do you remember? Nebliviscaris, yeah. So we have these little passes. It has all the band names on it, and it has like media, photo, a couple other words, and everything's crossed out except for photo. And me, not wanting to cause any problems and just wanting to make sure I understand everything, I ask a security guard. I show him the pass and said, hey, this is a photo pass. Does that just mean I can take pictures for the first couple songs? And he like stares at it. And like a good 10 seconds goes by before he like just mumbles an affirmative. And I go, all right, cool. That's what I'll do. So when Nebliviscaris starts playing, I just have my cell phone on me. I didn't have a camera. I took a couple pictures for one song and then walked away enjoying the rest of the set. Two songs later, the guy comes up to me, like taps me on the shoulder and like motions for me to like come with him. We go literally to the door of the venue. He opens it and like steps outside. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, am I getting kicked out? Like, I don't understand what's happening. And he says, that pass you showed me, that doesn't mean anything. You need the wristband that says photographer on it. And I lift up my wrist and say, you mean this? And he says, yeah. And that's it. I went back into the venue and took more pictures for the rest of the band.
So, wow, that's incredible. The one time I got the photo pass to do an interview, of course, they just give you the photo pass.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me take pictures with my cell phone. They said that you had to have like a DSLR to take photos. I'm like, that's... Can't use the word that I was about to use there. So, yeah, I just got denied immediately.
Yeah, I felt goofy going up with my cell phone, but I mean, I didn't, you know, other guys were doing it. They were kind of getting pictures with their DSLRs, and then they were taking videos with their cell phones at the same time. So I like showed them the photo band, and I walked right up for like the very first 30 seconds of Winterson coming on stage to get a good little Instagram video. And then that was it. I like scurried right back so I wouldn't get in a tussle with one of these fucking t-shirt wearing chuds.
Power tripping security.
Power trip morons. I hate venue security, man.
Security guards are like, you know, I would say that they're worse than cops, but most of the time they don't carry guns, so they can't actually kill you. But they totally would. They would absolutely murk you in a second.
Yeah, they would shoot. They would shoot anybody they possibly could.
Yeah,
they're just. I don't know why they're so mad all the time. Everybody's just there having a good time. I don't, you know, the rules broken that night were so minimal. Like everyone was just being in a crowd, having fun, crowd surfing and stuff. You know, I just, especially the shit with Jordan and his pass. Like you're gonna kick the guy out because he has a pass from the band that's maybe a little bit outside of what you might expect. It's like you're the fucking paper guardian, you moron. Like it's just not exactly up to wristband code.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sneak a Red Bull out of the headliner's cooler. Like, I just want to know where can I go and where should I not go? And like, that's it.
Not to mention, like you said, like two songs later, he taps you on the shoulder, about to kick you out.
Like he just had to tell me.
It's like a synapse fired in his brain for the first time in several years since he started thinking. So
you had a Flaherty security guard with you when we first went in.
I did. It's true. I'm like not a guy to flirt with, but she said my leather jacket was sexy and that she liked my skinny jeans, to which I replied, "Oh, they're not skinny jeans, honey. I'm just filling them out."
You got a lot of compliments for your Slugadigious shirt, and I got a lot for my Type O negative jacket.
That's so. Another thing. We were having this kind of like off the like unwritten contest to see who was getting the most compliments on their merch. I had worn my Slug shirt. And Jordan had wore this really nifty Type O negative jacket. And so we were going around and getting compliments everywhere from all sorts of people. And we didn't tally it. But I think Jordan won. Yeah, I mean, it's a great jacket, man, of course.
Is it like one of those NASCAR jackets from the 90s that just has like a bunch of different logos all over it?
It just has lots of different patches on like the different colored leathered sleeve. It's just a big Peter Steele patch on the back. Now, it's a green windbreaker that I actually got from the band directly. And I think part of the reason why I wore it is because it's green and everyone else in this venue is wearing black. So just in case we ever got like separated or needed to meet up, it could easily find me. But turns out a lot of people still like Type O negative. And we actually talked to Wintersun after our interview stopped about Type O negative for a few minutes. It was kind of neat.
I should like put my recorder back on, and I caught a blip of you talking about getting in a fight and like a scene being like, really?
Yeah.
Wow, they hit you? It's like out of all the shows he's been to, he hasn't seen like somebody take a swing at anyone.
I was curious, so I Googled this a second ago and I have to share it with you guys. I was curious if there was like, I mean, you guys have seen all the merch with like the thin blue line for cops. And then occasionally you'll see like a thin red line for like firefighters.
Oh no, don't tell me what you're about to tell me.
Yeah, man. There is a thin line for security guards.
Is it a fucking guardrail?
It's, oh my God. It's the thin yellow line. And you can buy it. There's a Facebook page called the Thin Yellow Line. There's like the first result is what do the thin line colors mean so that you can, you know,
avoid.
So the first responders are the thin blue line is cops. The thin red line is firefighters. The thin green line is for fucking border patrol agents. If I see your car with a thin green line, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah. Slash your tires in the mall parking lot.
Yeah, I will absolutely like rub poop on the handle of your door.
You got to stick it in the windshield wiper when it's going to rain.
Just like piss in your gas tank.
There's a thin gray line for correctional officers. Fucking anyway, so I clicked on one of these things. There's a forum post for Security Info Watch, which is a forum for fucking chud ass security guards. And this post from 2010 is up. Steve354 is asking, the thin blue line. I've been looking security badges, yet I don't any thin blue line ones for security officers. Is there a reason for that, or do we use the same ones as LEOs? There is a lot of merchandise for LEOs to remember the fallen, but nothing for security officers. I wonder why companies don't make the something and just security officers on it, instead of police? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Answer is you're because a fucking security guard, you fucking weak-ass chud. Get a real job.
Because you dropped out of middle school?
I like that they chose the color of piss as their line.
Yeah, that is so apt.
Yeah, because it's just trickling out of the venue bathroom.
How many security guards have ever been killed in the line of duty that wasn't like in self-inflicted powder donut injury?
I don't know. I'm sure there might be a knife in a pocket somewhere. I can't say for sure. That might have got one of them, you know. It's a sad day. It's, you know, over one security guard is killed in the line of duty every 3 decades.
So Five Finger Death Punch, their new album is just going to be a concept album about a security guard being killed in the line of duty at a show.
Yep. Good old Gary.
The hoodie under his t-shirt wasn't enough to protect him.
I miss Lurch. You know, at least one security guard per venue is named Lurch.
I believe that, yeah. Cool, man. What can we look forward to with this interview that's coming up in a little bit?
Well, we talked to them a little bit about a new song that they premiered on the tour. I asked them some questions about their crowdfunding campaign. Also, I was super syrupy sweet. I didn't want to press them. So I said a lot of things like how everything they do is perfect and amazing and I love them. I tried to ask them if they were going to do any new perks for the next crowdfunding campaign they do, because they only had the €150 one last time. And I was thinking, oh, maybe you guys could do some $10 ones, et cetera, et cetera. But no answers for that. We kind of talked to them about some random stuff, food they like, horror movies. It was good. Very friendly, very down to earth kind of dudes. So, I hope you guys enjoy it. And let's roll the clip.
I mean, like, we still have to give it a few. We got to kill a few more minutes before we can get to it.
Let's roll the clip in a few more minutes.
So we could talk about the show itself, too. We did see a whole bunch of bands throughout the day.
Yeah, who killed it?
So let's see. Omnium Gatherum. They were, like, one of the first major bands. They were really good. Like, I've heard recorded stuff. I've seen videos. And it's been like, all right, yeah, not bad. But I think they're one of those bands where you see it live and you could like really appreciate kind of their musicianship, and they were super into it. The crowd was into them. It was quite enjoyable. I'm at the age and I'm having like neck and back problems where I'm just like, nope, no more moshing. Not even if I love the song or the band, it's not going to happen. But we're on the floor watching the show. No one's really moving. Everyone's just having a good time. So that means, of course, the mosh pit has to happen directly in front of me, and just trying to block people away. I just want to watch the show. Stop fighting, everybody. And some goddamn gorilla just stomped on my foot during one of their songs. And it was one of those panic moments that like everyone gets when they initially just get hurt, like out of nowhere. It's like, oh, my God, my foot's broken. I have to leave. And it's like, oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're fine. It doesn't strike me as moshing music. I don't know. I don't know.
They go hard.
That's the thing, is that this was specifically like twinkly melodic European metal. This whole
line. Or melodic death metal.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just the moshing seemed very dissonant with the music, especially Neoblivascaris. This is a guy who's like crooning with a violin in his hands, and these dudes are like throwing fists. It's just and crowd surfing. It's bonkers. So the thing that I don't like about these kinds of shows is you have an upstairs and a downstairs. The downstairs being like the main concert hall with all the very bigger name bands. And you got the second stage, which is a bit smaller name acts, things like that. And you got bands playing at the same time. So obviously up at the bar, you have like five people watching whomever is playing up there, probably their friends. And then downstairs, you got everybody.
Well, it should be mentioned that on the scheduling with all the bands and the times, they have all the bands you've heard of. And then for the local bands, it just said local.
Oh, no.
Didn't even say their names. Those poor bands.
That's harsh. Local.
It's pretty low.
Well, we did see one local band. I know you know them if you want to give them a shout out at least.
Well, I don't know them.
Virus of Ideals?
Now this is awkward. Virus of Ideals were actually on the main stage. That's why I got confused. Because Virus of Ideals, they're this local band. They kind of have their own brand of twinkly, sparkly, melodic death metal. That sounds very European, but they're just a bunch of local New England folks. And they usually play these really crummy kind of dive bars where their sound isn't that great. So I was really pleased to see them like hooked up at the Palladium with like a real PA system. And they actually sounded great. So yeah, shout out to them. Check out Virus of Ideals. It's kind of like you got a lady singer and then you got a dude who's growling and he's got a keytar. And it, to give you an idea of what most of their sound sounds like, kind of an integral part of their set is they have like a cover of Nymphetamine from Cradle of Filth. Yeah. So if you're not into that, you can pass.
Ooh, that is. I used to watch Cradle of Filth videos when I was down and I needed a laugh. If you've never seen that video, that is a very silly one.
That is a spooky, spooky, silly video.
Saw Neo Obliviscaris. They were awesome.
They were awesome. They did a great.
I've heard nothing but good things about that band. I honestly don't think I've ever even listened to them.
They're very, very melodic. Their musicians are just like fantastic. Like the bassist is insane. The guitarists are just on point. Like they just have top tier musicians making this music that's not very popular. It's kind of funny. It was a lot of that. A lot of shred going on that night. Specifically on the second stage, kind of closing out the second stage, was Sarah Longfield.
Oh yeah, the YouTube guitarist.
Yeah, Season of Mist.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I'm sure she got her label signing where she could take it, but I was there for probably two songs of Noodly, and then I just joined Jordan back downstairs.
Yeah, I listed one song, and I'm like, okay, I know exactly what this is. I'm gonna go watch the Moonspell, the Portuguese goth metal band, where all the songs are about werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, I've heard that they are also kind of a silly live performance, but very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think when they play in Europe, I think it's more of an event and a whole production, whereas this, they only really had like a half-hour set, so I think it was toned down a bit. At the beginning of the set, the vocalist was wearing one of those black plague doctor masks and was performing in it, so that was something. But, brief set, but still kind of glad I watched it. It was what it was. If you know what Moonspell sounds like, that's what it was. Was Wintersun after them? Was that
Wintersun, it? Wintersun, I think, was, Obliviscaris was after Moonspell. Right. And then after Obliviscaris was Wintersun. And then it was Dark Tranquility, which I actually was going to kind of stick around for, only to find out we ran into some ex-girlfriend drama and some drunken flirty girl drama with one of the friends I brought. And so we just decided, we're tired and our backs are sore. So, we left Jordan to enjoy the rest of the show.
So was Wintersun good for you? I know you love them. Did they meet expectations?
Oh yeah, I thought they exceeded expectations. I mean, I go in, of course, excited to see them, but I think it was actually a really good move to have Yachty give up his guitar to do some onstage antics, because he's actually one hell of a showman. And it's kind of hard to believe because he's such a like awkward guy in his videos and his interviews and stuff. But to kind of see him just gazoon tight, just flip out on stage was great. It was a great time. I bought a ton of merch on my way out, and I'm excited to see what they have in store for the future.
Didn't you say his weird shirt he was wearing was for sale for like $100?
There's no way I would ever fit in that, so I didn't.
It was just a button down shirt with like some dragons on it, right?
Yeah, it was like some ridiculous samurai shirt. I don't know why he wears it every show.
Can't you just get that on eBay from all sad people from the 90s?
Yeah, right.
One of those button-down flame shirts that are like electric blue. Like, it's kind of the same thing.
It's a Guy Fieri shirt, man.
I'd buy a Guy Fieri shirt. I don't know if I'd buy a Wintersun shirt. I don't think it's at that same level of iconic clothing.
I think the shirt's a little more ornamental than that. got like a certain cut, a certain design that's a bit more.
You're far away.
Sounding. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay. It's I think it's got like a traditional Asian cut to it. It's like a legit goofball ass kimono shirt or whatever. But no, I wasn't gonna buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think to wear something like that, you have to study the blade.
Yeah. While you were having sex. That's what I was doing.
I'm sorry you missed the Dark Tranquillity, because, I mean, I absolutely love them. They were great. We're just one of those bands that have been doing this for so long that everything is smooth. And what they do now is they play with video behind them the entire time, which I know kind of sounds boring and played out, but it's some well-shot stuff. And they also throw up lyrics for not every song, but a lot of songs. So it's kind of cool to sing along. And they also played for their song Forward Momentum from their latest album. There's a video to it. And the video, like, always makes me, like, emotional and, like, guts me. And they're playing the video during the song. And I'm just like, oh, God, I have feelings.
No, not these.
I don't want to have feelings. I want to yell about stuff. But they were great. And Amorphous, I caught the first couple of songs. It was getting late. And I was tired of standing for 8 hours. So I caught a couple songs and headed out, and overall a good night.
I was going to ask if you stuck around for Amorphous or if you felt too sour about getting stiffed.
You know, they got me into the show for free, so it evens out.
I guess that's fair.
I paid $28 to get into the shitty horror convention.
I'm sorry.
To get into the show.
Yeah, the horror convention left a lot to be desired.
It was... Rock and Shock has been around for a bunch of years now and always kind of sounded fun. And this just sucked. There might have been maybe 30 tables at the most.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were like crappy jewelry or someone selling like old posters or just shitty bootleg DVDs, where I even said to him, like, almost all of these I could find on YouTube for free. Why am I going to spend $15 on them?
Yeah, it's had a long history of being a really good convention, and they used to have a lot of really big names at it. But the last couple of years particularly have been just more and more downhill. So I don't even know if we're going to go back next year. We'll have to see if they get something better going. But yeah, kind of a sad, sorry state for Rock and Shock.
Well, you guys are both your industry insiders now. You got connections, you got the hookups, yeah, you got the behind-the-scenes deals. So how does that feel?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because my cousin actually is like works with promoters for these events at the DCU Center, which I only found out like a couple months ago, like probably around the time we bought our tickets. So maybe I'll send him a couple of emails, you know, tell him he needs to have like a ladies' night with all the final girls or something really cool next year, so that it's not the same bullshit with the same old bastard looking for money he doesn't deserve.
Yeah. Well, you ought to pose that suggestion. I managed to get out of the house and watch some heavy metal the other day too.
Sick, man. What'd you do?
Went and caught Genocide Pact, Gate Creeper, Incantation, and then I left right before Dying Fetus went on, unfortunately.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Dying Fetus is fun or whatever. It's just, you know, by 12:30 at night, I get up really early every morning, so it's just, you know, it's a lot. But Genocide Pact getting on at 9:15 was choice. They these guys, they're pretty young, band out of DC, and they definitely fill the void that I feel like is missing when Mammoth Grinder went away and then came back sounding like a different band. So I dig what they do. Gate Creeper, I'd seen them like a year ago. They are so much tighter now than they were a year ago. I guess nonstop touring will do that to a band.
I can imagine, yeah.
So that was great to see. Oddly, like, it was packed until Gate Creeper got off stage. Then Incantation went on, and it was just the old guys were left there. The kids fucking love Gate Creeper.
They do.
Yeah. That's so weird when that happens at shows. When you're there like for the headline and you think, oh man, it's going to be packed for them. And then the opener finishes and half the room clears out. It's always a super weird feeling.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was glad. I had never seen Incantation before, and I'm glad that I got to see them, because, you know, they're up in years. They must be 40, if anything. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And very, it's just a very different vibe after seeing two incredibly modern death metal bands, you know.
Yeah, well, modern with like a vintage flair,
right? They're mostly Gatecreeper, which, you know, I hear a lot of, I guess, complaints from the older heads about them that like a lot of their songs are basically straight homages to other death metal bands, you know, like they close with a song that is a straight rip from a Bolt Thrower tune. But I mean, I don't know, everybody rips off Bolt Thrower.
Yeah. It's like OSDM is really just like, it's not cacophony. What do you call it when you got a bunch of songs at like the end of an album where they play all the different tunes from all the different songs?
I know.
Medley?
Yes. It's like that.
Like a vegetable medley?
Yeah, like a vegetable medley. If you listen to OSDM, you really just like eating vegetable medley.
It's a riff salad, if you will.
Correct. Now I want a salad.
Yeah, I was pleased, though, because I saw a lot of people wearing wrong 1-2 fuck with t-shirts.
Oh, my God. Were they on, like, hockey jerseys or stupid trash like that?
Oh, yeah, you know it. And best of all, the entire time there were these mesh banners on the stage that said wrong 1 to fuck with. So
mesh banners.
It's good.
Love it.
I'm glad that they got those printed. Well worth whatever they cost. Any price, it was good.
Splendid.
So I participated and I had fun. This tour is probably winding down. That's because it's been going for a while. But if you guys like death metal of that particular variety, you should definitely go check it out. I bought a super sick fucking Incantation shirt. Like, not enough bands do this. It's a black shirt. You know, stop me if you've heard this one before. Black shirt, white print, green lettering, like slime green all over it. It's nice, nice.
You do love the slime.
I do love slime, man. More slime. Shit, man. I just realized we're like 40 minutes into this. Is there anything else that we need to cover before we let you get to the good interview bit?
Well, this is actually going to be the end of the tour that I think both these bands are on. They're all ready to go home. We kind of caught some of them outside while we're waiting for Winter Sun to meet up with us, and they're all pretty tired. And they did a great job. And if you guys ever have the pleasure of seeing any of these bands we've mentioned live, Noble of Ascaris, Moonspell, Omnium Gatherum, Winter Sun, Dark Tranquility, the whole nine. If you guys can ever get that chance, go see them live. They're great. I don't know if it's really, I feel like the blogging metal sphere is just so underground death metal all of the time. You guys like one scummy kind of flavor of metal where you go in, you pay $1.50 to get into some shithole to just like watch a band with 11 people and you think that's what's current. But it's like, come on, man. Sometimes you just gotta let go, enjoy a little bit of melody, have some crooning and some big production and some good times. You know, get a little epic once in a while, man. You'll feel better for it. Stop trying to be so cool. You can wear a Gatecreeper shirt too of this show. You can rep the stupid band you don't actually like, but pretend to because you like your shirt design.
Damn. That's not Gatecreeper.
That's not Gatecreeper.
Yeah, Leif Barrickson.
It's getting real as fuck in the late hours of this podcast.
No, we love you, Leif.
Gatecreeper is cool, but a lot of bands that are Gatecreeper adjacent, not so much. I'm just saying, go out and enjoy some real music once in a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Nate Garrett's never going to do their show again. All right, well, fuck it. Let's hear what these fellows got to say in that there Winter Sun.
Greetings, this is Breno from Toilet Radio. I'm here with Jordan, as always. But today we have two very special guests. Today I'm joined with Yuka, the bassist from Winter Sun, Finnish. Hi.
Meet you.
Melodic death metal band from Finland. I'm sure most of you are very much aware. And also joining us today, I'm very happy to have the newest member of the band, Asim.
Yes, thank you very much. It's good to be here. Thank you.
So I know you guys have been on tour for what's it been, like a month, month and a half. Good long tour in North America. Is this your second to last show, is it? Do you have a couple more shows? Are you finished?
Yeah, we've been on the road now almost approximately a month. This is the second last show. Tomorrow we're still playing in New York at Irving Plaza. And then we're wrapped up with this. The tour has been very good, very nice. everything has been going great. Like, we had a few years in between, 5 years since the last time we were in North America. And people haven't forgotten.
No, so haven't
we. So
certainly not. No, I know every time you guys come here, I'm a huge fan. I always come and see you. Asim's a new face. I'm really excited to see you do your thing tonight.
Thank you.
United States, has it treated you guys well? I mean, when you guys come out here, is there like a certain kind of food you really like, or is there a certain place you like to see when you guys come out here?
Well, in general, the food is very delicious.
Yeah.
So it's better being like a mass season. Oh. During the tour.
Just a free-for-all, right? Just.
Yeah. But something particular, I don't know.
It's a delicious American beer, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, right.
When it comes to the craft beers, hell yes.
Of course,
when
yeah.
it comes to all kinds of foods, it depends on where you are.
Which area you're in. Yeah. Chicago, you got pizza up here, you know.
Seafood,
yep. It's a big
Southern
one.
Barbecue stuff, yeah, all kinds of nice things, yeah.
I would not say anything. I'm a vegetarian, so.
Okay. Ah, okay.
So I've had problems finding the right kind of food. But at the end of the day, of course, whatever I've been getting, it's been amazing. And just the most difficult part is becoming fat every day. That's what I'm struggling with, man. It's really, oh, God.
You eat a lot, and then you have to go on stage and play. Exactly. And then you just want to go to sleep.
Man. But at the same time, the beer is delicious, so, you know, if you... I don't say no to it, so it just fill up on beer.
Yeah, for those that don't know, beer is vegetarian, so go right ahead.
Yeah,
it's a little easier.
No harm done to the animals in that.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot easier up northeast here as far as vegetarian. Right. We have a lot of options, but it's
right.
So, getting to the tour here, you guys are premiering this new song. Mm. That was a big hype for a lot of Winter Sun fans to come by and check it out. Of course, being the way the internet is. People were recording on their phones. You know, we got a load of it. From what little I heard, very excited to hear it tonight. But what was interesting was it was about 7 minutes, maybe a little bit more, almost like eight.
A bit more than six. What was the intro?
Seven or so. So the way the band's been going, a lot of it has been kind of these long 12, 14-minute epics. Whereas the 7, 8, 6 minute mark, that's a bit more, that first Winter Sun album. Are we expecting a bit more of a return to form in the future for Winter Sun? Are we going to try to do some faster paced stuff where it's kind of quick and over and memorable in that sort of way? Or are we going to really stick with the longer epic stuff?
Well, the thing is that this new song is a new song.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain story, but we're going to keep it as a new song.
Okay.
But when it comes to the style, I'm sure it will be going similar sort of ways around more epic themes and
epic
all
long things,
in
sure.
the future as well.
Okay. Yeah, Four Seasons, definitely a lot more 12-minute, 14-minute songs,
yeah.
Massive production, massive epics. So if you guys are going to stick with that, we're excited to hear more from that. So.
Well, on the other hand, you never know what's going to happen with Winter Sun.
Oh, for sure.
That
yeah.
Usually the albums take a bit longer time to be able to release than polish the product, so to say. So
definitely.
You never know what's going to happen. We try more or less to be like a band that might not follow the always the same concept where, like certain other bands do, which is there's no problem with that. Everybody has their style. But Winter Sun is all about surprises.
When
a song, like a new song, ends up on the internet, even YouTube.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Are you happy that it's out there, or are you concerned that it's not going to sound exactly how you want it to sound, like in the studio?
Well,
that's the scary
thing. To that, you can say it's out there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You got some kind of pirated version that, you know, people have opinions on, and it's not really what you guys are
intending.
Well,
of course, it's not the album version, but people understand it's a live version, and.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, however people recorded it, sound what it sounds like. And
for sure. And it's good to see that people are excited,
yeah.
But it's not the finished product. So,
no, but on the other hand, of course, promotional-wise and everything, it's nice to play something new for the people. Even they can listen to a crappy version from YouTube or somewhere, that they hear some new stuff from us as well. That's
and
what we want.
I think that excites the people as well to come to see our show, to have that experience of that song, like really firsthand, that how is it really sound. So I think that excites people as well to come and support us as well. And of course, we wanted to give something to the fans, as particularly for their support they have given us. that, hey, check something new out. Like, that's all for you guys. So,
yeah.
I mean, we could have kept it out as well and say, like, hey, look, we're going to give you guys the four seasons and with the previous albums as well. But to spice things up, to, you know, get the excitement going. Like, what is it all about? So
yeah, it's like a special treat for people that have been with you for so long.
Right, right, absolutely.
You can give them the new song, or you can cover, like, Korn if you wanted to. And no one would really notice. But it's a new song.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of... working with the crowd, crowdfunding and everything. Of course, last year you guys had your very successful crowdfunding campaign. It was totally funded in just, I think it was only like a day or so, if just not a few days.
Yeah.
Now, I remember with the Forest Seasons, how it worked was you had the Forest Season package. It was the one perk you guys had available because you really wanted to get that funded. So what I was curious about was if in the future, when you do the next crowdfunding campaign for the Winter Sun headquarters, do you guys think you're going to try to offer some different perks, maybe some things that might be a little more expensive, a little cheaper, some different things, or are you going to try to do, you think, the same thing that you know worked, where you're going to give one great package again and one price to kind of make the math make sense?
Well, that is totally still in the plans. Okay. We cannot say even ourselves. We need to see first what we come up with the main idea behind it, which it will be a new album for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, no idea at the moment.
No idea.
Of course, in the first campaign, it was the thing that we wanted to keep it more simple and offer way more than it anybody expected even. Nobody even expected a new album coming out. So. But on top of that, we wanted to give so much more, kind of like a silent thank you for everybody that they've always been around. And I think we will probably the same way, but let's see. We don't know yet. It's way too early for us to actually plan that.
Okay.
Of course, everybody might be curious about it. I totally understand that, but still up in the air.
Okay. So let's talk about Asim for a bit. New face to Winter Sun. A lot of people were shocked to hear that Yachty was going to put down the guitar, become the front man, and have you come in, pick up guitar for him live. And as far as I know, you're going to be a full-fledged member of the band and have work in albums and things like that. So from what I read, it sounded like the band knew you as a very good vocalist before they knew you as a very good guitarist, which you must be if you're going to take and fill in those shoes. So are we going to, do you know if we're going to expect to hear some of your vocal chops on any future records for Winter Sun? Well, are we going to hear Asim shine there?
That's something of the excitement about Winter Sun, is that you never know what's coming out. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen as well. And as to what I remember when Winter Sun started playing live, it was only Yachty who was doing the vocals on the stage. And then later on, we could see like Yuka and Tam were helping out with the backing vocals and all that as well. So there are spices up and down. Like, you know, there are things that happen along the way. So can't really say. We'll see how it comes along. And of course, I'll be excited to do something when the time comes and the time is right. So let's see. Can't say for now.
And it's great that Asim, first of all, that he's in the band, not to fill in Yari's shoes, but to bring his own style of playing and bring something new to the band as well at the same time. I really like it personally, and everybody are so excited. That's why Asim is around, of course, not
sure.
Just around, but as a member of the band, and especially when it comes to the vocals as well, that he's bringing a lot of new things, new elements into the band, which is great.
That's great. I don't want that confusion out there that, oh, they have some session musician to be Yachty's hands while he's doing his thing on stage, you know, of course. There's
because
the past stuff, but
it was kind of like a surprise for Yuka as well when I was applying for the position, because Yuka knew, as you know, you said earlier as well, the band knew me as a vocalist much prior to the whole audition things and everything like that. So even he got surprised that what am I?
I didn't have a freaking idea that he can even play the guitar. I was like, why is he playing? Is he going to sing all the parts or what?
Nevertheless, that good. Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
that must have been quite a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's great. The more the merrier. We're definitely excited to see you guys up there. Dude, what was your
So, being the new guy on the team, have they given you a hard time? Any hazing? Or has it just been a welcome?
It's part of the family since day one when we have, like, met as well. It just felt like we have known each other for, what, like 10, 15 years or since we started and all. But yeah, hard time, let's put it this way. Winter Sun music is not the easiest to play. So that's the hard time in the beginning that I had, like, of course, to come up to the same standards and to, you know, push myself to the limit as well, to go like, hey, the moment I go on the stage, I don't want to have that notion of, like, knowing that because of the new guy, the, you know, there's still a struggle going on. So sure. It was not the hard time from their side, but a hard time for me pushing myself that I wanted to be, you know, a perfect unit. And else than that, no, it's like family. I mean, we joke around like hell, and it just feels like we don't have to, you know, be, at least what I feel from their side as well, that, you know, they don't have to push themselves to a point that they go like, okay, we need to, you know, he's a new guy, we need to be careful, or we need to be a little bit like, oh, if we do this or that, how would the new guy feel? So it's been from the day one, like, you know, poking each other a little bit, like breaking the ice. So it was just fantastic from the day one.
So now you're comfortable on stage playing the songs?
Oh yeah, I was comfortable good. From day one. I mean, that's the interesting part. But of course, the day one, the first show for me was a little bit more like, you know, emotionally more, what's the right word? It was a bit more restrained. I was more restrained. But knowing that, I'm there with them on the stage, and that's going to happen more often now, so take it easy. So after that, it was more easier for me. The first show was a little bit tough. And of course, as the band had been always with four piece on the stage, like three guys in the front, now there's a fourth one as well, and we were trying to study each other's movement as well and all that. So I think the first show was an experiment, but after that, we have been all fine.
Going back to the fundraising question, do you think that's the wave of heavy metal for the future, that all bands should start fundraising and funding their own albums and kind of skipping out a little bit on working with labels as much, just because it's worked so well for you guys?
Well, of course, Winter Sun's success with the crowdfunding was also that people respect or actually cherish the direct, honest way, so to say, directly with the band. But then at the end of the day, Winter Sun already had like a fan base there. Mm-hmm. Which was a lot to do with Nuclear Blast, of course, like their record label still. So it's kind of like you need both.
Yeah.
You need many aspects,
yeah.
I would say, to make things the best way. But I see it coming nowadays a lot more when it comes to crowdfunding in general, not just in music, but in everything else. So,
as Yuka said as well, that the fan base was there as well. So if a new band just starts off doing crowdfunding, nobody knows. So.
Right.
But that could go into becoming an epic fail.
Oh, yeah.
So,
definitely. You know. We see that all the time. Bands get nothing.
Right. So I think there's a very important push that because of labels being doing this business for a long period of time, they know how to bring a fan base to a band. And if they believe in a band, as Nuclear Blast has believed in Winter Sun as well, is the reason as well, one of the reasons that we have a good fan base. So it was successful on the behalf of the history of Winter Sun, behalf of the history with Nuclear Blast of Winter Sun. So I think, as you said, both go hand in hand. But it could be the next step. Could be.
Bringing up record labels will kind of bring me into my final question for you guys. In the American creative industry, we have a saying that done is better than perfect. And I think that comes a lot from capitalism. We need to push the product out, get it out there for people to buy, things like that. And I've sort of noticed that famously, Winter Sun takes things in an opposite sort of direction. You guys, in your history, it's been perfect is better than done. We need to really do everything we can to make this album as good as we know it can be. Now, do you think that if bands were given as much time as they could be given to really perfect an album, would we have a lot better albums than we're getting? Or do you think that there is some validity to a bit of a fire underneath you to just not dwell on the product and get something out.
That's so a double-sided thing.
Yeah.
Well, of course you should polish your product that it's the best possible ever. But I don't even know where does that order go when you get stuck with it and you start over-analyzing everything. And then it's a total mess and you cannot release anything anymore.
I think, in my opinion, art has no boundaries. So it's about the perception or the perception of the other, which basically has a potential of going like, oh, is it perfect or is it just a done product? So for some people who believe that their product has been perfected, they release it, and for some it's just like, well, that doesn't sound perfect to me at all. So some people like black color, some people like white, some people like blue, green, whatever. So we can't all be the same. So considering the fact that what we were talking about Winter Sun as well, is that, of course, into the level of the perfection that we are looking for is what we aim to get and release that. While on the other hand, when some other bands are releasing something, we don't feel like they're not releasing some perfection, or that they're just doing the done product just for the heck of it.
I believe in that it should be the band thing, that when you have songs ready and everything, you should listen to all the members, check their old perspective from their own instrument size, see how they feel like it, see the whole entity of the whole thing, and then trust your intuition. And at that time when everybody starts to feel that this is it,
right.
Because it's just always an album, so the product of a certain time. So, yeah.
It's a balance.
Yeah.
Some people are able to make a song in, let's say, a day. Some people are able to make the same song maybe in a month, maybe in a year. So I think the time is irrelevant on that basis as well, because the product has, different people have different abilities to be able to do that. It's not that I'm saying that if the people take a longer time, they are disabled or they don't have the potential.
Yeah.
But it's just still the point, as Yuka said, that are you satisfied? Once you're satisfied, go for it. If you're not satisfied, then there's no point. So
excellent.
I think it just varies. It's a difficult question to answer, really.
Yeah. So I knew it would be.
As of right now, are you satisfied?
Oh, regarding?
Regarding the new music? Like, at least the new song?
You're pretty satisfied.
Pretty satisfied.
I mean, it's
absolutely.
The live version that you guys are hearing, so we're
not
releasing
anything. It's not the final,
right, exactly.
Final, so to say. Although it is, but it's not recorded and the final version, so to say.
Right.
So we are satisfied enough to show it live.
Yeah.
So we're at the Rock and Shock Horror Convention. It's next door. All scary movies, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Mine of all
favorite.
It's a tough question,
especially
if you like scary.
What's a really good recent one you guys have seen?
The recent one that I checked that was actually quite good was actually on Netflix, The Ritual.
I actually just watched that too. It was really good.
And it was in the end, not like mind blown, one of the best, but I think
right.
It was very good.
It was slow and well done and
interesting.
It was different.
But one thing that actually I related it a lot, because it happened in the Swedish forest, so it's kind of like the same as in Finland. So it's kind of like more homey feeling, so
it
maybe I was more attached to it in that sense.
It's interesting. I've been told, I don't know how true it is, I've been told that violence as far as media in Finland is quite a bit more censored than in America. Is there any truth to that, or do you guys get all the gory goodness? No? They're looking at me both like I have two heads, so I must be wrong.
What do you mean by censored?
Well, in America, we're just all blood and gore. We can put it all out on the movies, heads chopped off, everything. But I heard that in Finland, it's a bit more constrained what can be put in movie theaters, things like that. There's no truth to that?
Actually, no, definitely not. I believe just that the Finns are doing different sort of movies in the first place. That I have the feeling that there's so much blood and gore coming out from many other countries.
You don't need
it
anymore.
Even concentrating on other stuff, movies, so to say.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, I think we're at time. Thank you so much for yours. We're going to let you get back to what you need to do. But this has been Brendan and Jordan from Toilet of Hell. And thank you all so much for listening. And keep it metal, bros.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us, guys.
Appreciate it.
Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Have a good evening,
Yuga.
Thank you. And a nice jacket right there.
Oh, thank you.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.